This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio. Good morning, I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski. Ask an elementary school student what his or her favorite part of school is, and there's a decent chance that recess might be the answer. On a nice spring morning, happy screams emanate from many schoolyards around the city.
Some childhood experts say that what's going on during recess is learning that's just as important, maybe more, than the homework that takes up a child's time after school. And Heather Shoemaker worries that recess is increasingly getting overlooked. Shoemaker's latest book is called It's Okay to Go Up the Slide, and she joins us on the line from Michigan. Welcome to Lake Effect.
Good to be here. Thanks.
What's the overall picture you're trying to address with this book? What do you see happening at schools and maybe more broadly in the lives of kids that concerns you?
Well, I'm seeing that our knowledge of child development, you know, of what we know about how brains develop and bodies develop, what we know about kids and what we're doing with them is that that gap is widening, and that's what's concerning me. So we know more than ever before about what kids need, and yet we seem to be doing the opposite as a culture. And some of it's at home, things we can do at home, and some of the things are at school. So this book actually bridges between home and school a lot, and it can fit for parents or teachers. You know, whatever position you're in interacting with kids, there's ideas here.
You cite the things being done at a school in your hometown as being especially noteworthy in looking at how things can be done differently. What's special about what goes on at that school?
Yeah, well, you're referring to the my childhood preschool called the School for Young Children, which is based in Columbus, Ohio. And I went there as a 4 and 5-year-old, and my mother taught there for 40 years. So that school has formed an inspiration for both my books. But it's different. It takes a different look at early childhood. And to show you just how different it is, for example, they give children, 4 and 5-year-olds and 3-year-olds, boxing gloves and allow them to punch each other during the school day. So this is not how other people seem to do things. but it's for rough and tumble partner play. It's not about solving conflicts. They're very good about helping kids work through conflicts. And in fact, if you get a couple 4-year-olds together and they want to do wrestling or boxing, you're guaranteed to get some sort of conflict coming up, like, hey, don't pull my shirt, or you hit too hard. So when the kids find something they don't like, it's a great opportunity to teach them those peace skills of conflict mediation and say, you didn't like it when he pushed you that hard? Well, tell him. And then you're setting those rules child to child, and they're learning the skills of peace. Even and having a great old time at the same time.
All right, so let's say you have a hypothetical second grader at home who reports that the football games he plays at school are constantly broken up by teachers who see the kids argue. Would you contend, is there some wisdom in letting the kids just continue to argue out on the football field?
Well, you know, I think kids can benefit by getting some tools from us. But they do need chances to, once they have some tools, they need some chances to practice them. And sometimes it's going to look like a longer, dragged-out discussion argument than we would like. But they need this kind of practice, and they need to see the reactions of their playmates when they behave a certain way. So one of the basic things we can help teach kids is just to say what they don't like. I don't like it when you, and then fill in the blank. To learn to speak up and to be specific, because often this is what we hear. He's mean, right? Or she can't come to my birthday party. So you hear those sorts of reactions, but dig in and say, sounds like you're mad at her about something, or sounds like he did something you didn't like. And give them those tools so that they, when they are at the playground, that they can say, I didn't like it when you put your foot out and tripped me. It's very specific. And then you can get somewhere.
Let's talk about two aspects of school that seem to be related, perhaps. The decline of recess and the rise of homework at the elementary level. Schools and policymakers are concerned about falling achievement, so on the surface, more academic work and less playtime seem like an appropriate response, but you're right, the opposite is true. First of all, what's the argument against homework, especially at the elementary level?
Yes, well, you know, saying do your homework, that seems like something we just don't even question. But what researchers are finding is that the benefits, the academic benefits of homework, are highly age-dependent. So it can work really well at the high school level, But the younger and younger you go, and they're finding no correlation between academic achievement and time spent on homework in the elementary years at all. So then you think, well, why the heck are we doing this? and I think that's what a lot of the kids would ask, too. They're finding also that kids, even though they're not getting that academic benefit at the elementary age, it does turn a lot of kids against school and against learning, or what they perceive as learning, and that's a terrible thing.
You make the case that reading is an appropriate alternative to homework, though, and I wonder if some of that is a semantic issue, whether, you know, a teacher says, okay, your homework tonight is to read for 30 minutes. Should they not label it as homework?
Well, you know, that's a good question. I think my idea about homework is really letting the family control family time and not be dictated what thou must do when you're out of school. A lot of families will be reading to their kids anyway, so the idea of reading as homework is, oh, well, we do that. But, of course, there are many families that don't realize that this is important, and having it come from please read with your child every night from the teacher may get them started. So it's going to depend. But I think that reading, the thing with reading is it needs to stay pleasurable. And for children who are still learning to read, if you have them sit down and try to figure out those words at the end of the day when they're exhausted, that can be miserable. So reading aloud, make sure the reading is pleasurable. It doesn't matter if the child reads so much, as long as words are filling the child's mind and stories are filling her heart.
Are there some other reasons for homework at some point, though? Is there some benefit in terms of teaching kids that there is some overlap in the creativity they use in school and the creativity they might use out of school, that some of their what they think of as work could actually be fun work?
Well, I think kids will bring that. We're talking about young kids.
Sure.
A lot of kids play school. When they get out of school, they'll come home and they'll play being teacher, and they'll pass out assignments. Now, that kind of playing, and they'll write things on a board. You know, one of my kids has a whiteboard and markers, and he likes to write down and pretend he's the teacher. So when kids do that kind of play, if they bring writing or teacher play into their play, that's great. I think that, you know, a lot of people are concerned about responsibility. And, well, okay, maybe there's no academic benefit, but at least they're learning responsibility at these ages so that they'll be ready for high school. I'm thinking, well, responsibility comes in so many ways. When you're talking about a six-year-old, it's remembering to bring your lunchbox and your mittens home. Or, you know, pets. You know, did you feed the cat today? And all the things that we do as a family that have responsibilities. So I'm not concerned with homework as the way to do that.
Well, and so on the other side of the coin, maybe on the other side of the coin here, is recess. And so why is the answer, or why is one answer anyway, to academic struggle more recess and not less?
Yes. Well, you know, our brains are fascinating things. And what they're realizing is that children, especially the restless ones who poke their neighbor and just can't seem to settle, they need more breaks and physical breaks in order to concentrate and focus. So the kids are so much action, and around age 7 is their peak physical action, especially for boys. They find that when they track motion, they put sensors on kids and watch how much they move. Boys do move more than girls, and their peak is around age 7 or 8. So that's right when you're asking them to sit still all day. The parts of the brain, the frontal lobe, where we have all that memory, focus, learning, impulse control, executive functioning, some of that is strengthened by other kinds of learning, like being outside and playing physically. So being able to refresh that and come back into school, what recess is needing is not just longer periods of recess, but more frequent throughout the day. Back in my day, I had 3 recesses a day. We had morning recess, lunch recess, afternoon recess. That's rare today. At best, many schools will have 2. And a lot of them have 1, and of course, as you probably know, some schools have eliminated it altogether, even at the kindergarten level.
Does recess have to be outside?
No, it doesn't. It also does not have to involve physical movement. Usually having a place that can allow physical movement and, you know, outside does wonders for many things. But I think people forget that recess is just a break from being told what to do. It's an emotional break. It's a social break. It's a physical break. But it doesn't necessarily mean that every child will be running. Sometimes we get a little confused when we're thinking about the obesity epidemic, and instead of having more recess, we think, oh, well, they just need more gym class. So some schools are having recess every other day and gym class the other days, but that's not recess.
Well, right. So talk about the distinction between gym class and recess.
Well, I think a 7-year-old explained it best to me. What he said was, well, in gym class, the teacher tells you what to do and you can't be with your friends.
At what point do you think does the dynamic go from play is important to the importance of learning that sometimes you do need to put off what you want to do in favor of what you need to do?
Okay, so a couple of things. On play, I mean, play is wonderful, but there are times when it's nap time now. I know you want to keep playing ball, but it's time to come in and go to sleep. I mean, there's necessities in life. It's time to eat. There's different things we need to stop and do. But as far as the homework side of that, what the research is showing is that middle school starts to be a time when kids can get some benefit, not much, but some academic benefit, but they also can get some practice for study habits for high schools when it does become important and gets more serious. You don't need to practice with a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old for getting ready for high school. But when you're 7th or 8th grade, some level of practice homework can be helpful.
What do you see at stake from the way this dynamic is changing if it doesn't shift back? If, you know, the trend towards more homework and less recess, say, continues?
Right. Well, this is what we're seeing already, is kids are getting more stressed. Their depression rates are going up, and anxiety and stress rates in younger and younger children. You can't point it all to one thing, but a lot of it is a clash of adult expectations mismatched with child development, and that always causes stress. Some of it might be not enough outdoor time, might be not enough downtime, free play time. Say some kids are scheduled with activities all their after-school time as well as their during-school time. And some of it is being asked to do things that really their brains and bodies aren't ready to do for such long periods of time as we're asking of them, whether it's in school or at home. You know, there's a lot of parents who are saying, well, you know, you got to do your homework, and the child is 6 years old and wriggling in the homework chair at the kitchen table and in tears and frustrated, and deep in our hearts, we know that what this child needs is either to run around outside around a tree 20 times or go to bed early. But we feel that we've got to uphold this authority that the school has over our families.
It's not always easy for a family to you know, either literally or metaphorically opt out.
No, it's not easy at all. But I think that's why it's important for educators and parents to be thinking about these issues and finding, well, what is the right balance? It's exactly the same issue as when a child pushes another child on the playground and you're helping them say, hey, I didn't like that. It's when things are hurting your family or when things are out of balance, the adult partners need to say, hey, this is what's happening in our family. This is what I'm seeing, and this is how we need to support our child in the off-school hours. What can we do about it? And talk to each other respectfully and see what can happen. It's not easy. You got to kind of dig your courage up and get ready for that conversation. But it's important, and the kids are worth it.
The kids are absolutely worth it. And Heather Shoemaker, I think reading the book is worth it as well. Thank you so much for spending a few minutes with us.
Thanks so much.
Heather Shoemaker is the author of 2 books on early childhood, the latest of which is called It's Okay to Go Up the Slide. Shoemaker did her graduate work at UW-Madison, and we reached her on the line from Northern Michigan.